This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody at 520 we'll have on with us from Odyssey Sports, our NFL insider, Mark Schlereff. And Mark will be covering the Saints game as they play the Atlanta Falcons. You can hear that game right here on the Big 870 WWL, kickoff at 12 noon. On our talk and text line, she's the chief coordinator supervisor because, man, everything is going down for New Orleans New Year's Midnight Fireworks Show. But before the fireworks show, you can start your New Year's Eve with the celebration of the All-State Sugar Bowl Parade presented by Louisiana Tourism. Rolls through the French Quarter at 2 o'clock, and we have on with us Debbie Bressler. And Debbie, thanks so much for joining us. And so a lot of people think this is just a fireworks show, but in town, okay, you got a lot of people from University of Georgia, Ole Miss. For some of them, it's their first New Year's Eve celebrating in the Crescent City. So you got a lot of things going on and a lot more than fireworks, though that is a big part of what you got rolling.
Absolutely. And, you know, like the whole, you know, town comes together, all the sponsors come together, you know, because you guys have put us on the map here as being one of the top destinations to celebrate the new year. And we're so excited that it all culminates at the midnight fireworks. But we tell people, come down early, come down at 2 o'clock, and the Sugar Bowl parade is going to be wonderful, as you said. And then you've got all the shops and the restaurants and museums and things to do. You've got a free concert, New Orleans Eve concert at Waldenburg Park from 9 to midnight before the midnight fireworks. And the fight songs for the two teams, for Georgia and the Rebels, are going to be in there. And the colors for those teams are going to be part of the fireworks display. And there's so much to do. And there are even private parties that are open to go ride the riverboat or go to the Missy. To New Orleans, I mean, it's a paddle wheel, a Creole Queen. All of these things are available. There's so much to do. You're going to have to stay many more days to do it all.
Absolutely. And Debbie, my oldest daughter is one of the vice presidents at the World War II Museum. And she was telling me all these private parties of people that, you know, they want to see as much of the city as they can so they can catch this. It starts at 2 o'clock. And with the parade through the French Quarter. And you talked about it, all the restaurants they can visit and the museums and the shops. And I'm going to say it twice, bars. They're going to have them packed in there. Because the one thing about New Orleans, you come down here, you know, you got to tip that glass a little bit here and there. And hey, come on, it's the New Year's. Just kind of watching. If you're walking, you can kind of wear that off on you a little bit.
Well, it's really funny. I remember I was doing this for, 32 years? Because, I mean, Helen Sutani and Diane have been doing all this for so long. And I remember somebody stopped me and said, excuse me, can you tell me where we can get a drink? And I said, close your eyes, twirl around, and point, and you'll be right where you need to be. So
That is funny. If somebody's going to ask you where to get a drink, you can tell they're not somebody that's local. That is definitely
the
tourist.
We can tell you where you can't get a drink.
That's it. And also, too, you so helped because of the fact, you know, it's been so many years since, you know, the Ole Miss Rebels have played in the Sugar Bowl. And now really significant because it's one of the playoff games. Now, Georgia's played, you know, in New Orleans a few more times than what Ole Miss has in recent years. But you're getting a new group, younger, older people that have never experienced the fireworks show that they're going to see New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. And it's being produced by Pyromania Fireworks. They're out of Benton, Louisiana. And we're so excited. They did our 4th of July show. And you're going to have shells that are going to go 1,000 feet in the air and 1,000 feet wide with the width of the river. And also the special thing, of course, the colors of the Sugar Bowl teams in there, too. And the link for the fireworks music, which is on the WWL website as well. but it's going to be gorgeous at the finale. There will also be the little red three-dimensional hearts, 14 of them, that are going to fall from the sky in memory of those that we lost last year. And it's just going to be gorgeous, beautiful. It's all New Orleans music. It's just, it's, you know, nobody can celebrate the new year like we can New Orleans style. I mean, this is where you want to come, you know?
Nowhere else. Nowhere mm-hmm. else. And this is all produced by the Crescent City Countdown Club, and they partner up with New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Foundation. But mm-hmm. you couldn't do this without so many of the sponsors like New Orleans mm-hmm. and Company, the Allstate Sugar Bowl, Berger and Tiller Families, French Quarter Festivals, Pyromania, you brought it up, fireworks. There are mm-hmm. so many people that have gotten involved in this kind of festivities before the fireworks that really makes it an event, even if you live locally, to go see it and to enjoy the new year. Because, you know, for all of us, there's a certain mortality, and you want to see that, okay?
That's right.
Go with your kid, you know, your older kids and stuff like that. Just be careful with the Muttley Magoos, because sometimes that fireworks sort of scatters them a little bit. But mm-hmm. that is something I got to praise what you and everybody else do there to make this such a great event for the area.
Well, thank you. And I mean, it's all the names that thank you for reading them off too, and 15 others, but we start over at $0 every year. And I have to say, it was a little challenge this year, but the fireworks are a backdrop for all the festivities for New Year's. So a lot of the events that we have with the river boats and the Missy and New Orleans, these are all sponsors. So if you're somewhere, ask the people if the people are out there, are you contributing to the fireworks? And if not, give me their names, because we're going to get them involved, because this is a community project, and we couldn't do it without folks like New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Foundation and all the others. I mean, this is something that everyone's been together doing for 32 years. So
my wife and I brought our oldest granddaughter, who's 11, to view New Orleans, and she really enjoyed
gorgeous.
It. At first it was, whoa, I'm way up in the air, but she really enjoyed the view and how you get to see everything. If you haven't done that, that's something I encourage everybody to go see, because it is really a sight.
It is amazing, and to see New Orleans from 400 feet above, it's just absolutely unbelievable. And it's terrific. And they're having a special event that evening as well for New Year's Eve, a private event. So these are all sponsors that are putting things together that are giving all of our visitors and our locals a place to be for the whole day. So come on down. We want to see you on that parade route. And again, the next day is the Sugar Bowl, 7 p.m. kickoff, right?
So, right.
Mm-hmm, that's going to be a good one. So I'm just so grateful to you guys, Mike, and thank you for all your help. And all of y'all are wonderful that we keep this tradition going for our great city.
Debbie, thanks so much for all you do for the area. We really appreciate it. And to get everybody together, that's a task. And so I applaud you for doing that. Thanks so much for coming on with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Happy 2026.
Same to you, Debbie. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our talk and text line, we're joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, thanks for joining us, and what you got this week on the podcast? Man, what a crazy ending to the NFC South race, right?
Right. I mean, and I'm calling your guys.
Yes.
The Saints. I've got the Saints, Atlanta. I'm actually in Hawaii right now.
We're
out here to our grandkids for Christmas, so we're kind of hanging out. But I am actually looking at New Orleans film, watching what they did last week and the previous 3 weeks, and digging into some Atlanta stuff. So this, I mean, this is great. This is going to be unbelievable what happens here. Even if Tampa Bay wins this game, you know, and everybody ends up, if Atlanta is able to pull off a victory, Carolina could still win this thing. Saints could play spoiler. I tell you what, I'm excited about it.
Looking at it, and last night, man, a lot of people, they squawk and bellyache because they, these analytical people in life, and it's great to have the that figure in front of you. Can't tell me Bijan Robinson isn't that big of a difference maker, and you saw it last night. 229 yards total offense, 195 yards rushing, and they weren't playing the sisters of the poor on defense. No. The Rams can play defense. Bijan Robinson is something special as a runner and a receiver.
Yeah, man, he made a two-yard gain. It might have been the greatest two-yard gain in NFL history. Like, he juked somebody in the backfield, then broke the opposite way, and then stuck his foot in the ground. And I think he made Jared Verse fall all over himself. And it was a damn two-yard run, and it was one of the great two-yard runs I'd ever seen. At one point, they put up on the screen on Monday Night Football – yards from scrimmage for the first 5 years of a career, and Bijan was number one ahead of Christian McCaffrey, number two, and then the great Barry Sanders, number three. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me! Like, it's unbelievable. So Bijan is a hell of a nice kid. He's an unbelievably gifted athlete. It's not very often you see guys in the NFL make the other NFL players look like JV squad players. And he can do that to you. He's a special talent without question. And this offense for the Atlanta Falcons is actually playing much better, you know, with Kirk Cousins, and they've kind of settled down a little bit here the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Mark, this is right up your wheelhouse because so much talk has been about Tyler Shuck, and Saints got their guy for the now and for the future. But they also got themselves that left tackle, too, in Kelvin Banks. Mm. And how difficult it is to play that left tackle position. A lot of times you're sort of left on an island by yourself. And, you know, sometimes you get help. We saw Will Campbell, as good as he is, going up against Myles Garrett. They didn't help Will too much in that game. You know, it didn't make him look too good, but, okay, you didn't help him much. Your thoughts on watching the development of Kelvin Banks at a critical spot at left tackle?
Yeah, especially considering the inside three guys are just struggling, you know. So those dudes are going to get the majority of the help, you know, and people are going to try to get you singled up one-on-one. And Kelvin Banks is a damn good player. I think both tackles, Fuaga as well, is a good player. Now, he is not as athletically gifted as Banks is from a movement standpoint, but that guy can play as well. He can mosh pit you a little bit. So I like what they've got going on. You know, I look at this New Orleans team. We talked about this midseason. Like, their schedule was favorable. If Shuck becomes the guy, you know, we talked about how you finish strong, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got an opportunity to build your football team. And they got rid of some dudes that weren't going to be part of the future. Like, I really like what they've been able to do now. Four straight wins. Tyler Shuck has just been nothing short of amazing in my mind as a rookie quarterback. Watching him, get through progressions, watch him throw his checkdowns, watch him always have an answer, watching his foot energy in the pocket. Like, this kid can flat play, and he doesn't repeat mistakes. He makes one. Hey, man, that happens. We move on from that. Athletically gifted enough to make things happen as well in the pocket. I really like kind of what Kellen Moore has done, and that's hard for me to say because, you know, he's a Boise State guy, and he knows. I mean, he knows that he used to get an ass whooping by them Vandals. So, but listen, man, like, I really like where the New Orleans Saints find themselves going in, you know, finishing the season here last week of the season, but going into next year, like, they can make some big time strides, I believe, because I think they found their guy.
Mark, one of the things we've seen it at any level, if it's high school or college or the pros, when you find your quarterback and his ability to elevate other people around him, we see much more consistency. Chris Olave at wide receiver, Juwan Johnson at tight end. Okay, yeah. Here you get a guy playing running back. I mean, you saw he was with the Broncos for a little while, Audric Estime. They had so many backs, they cut him loose. He goes to Philly for a cup of coffee, and the Saints pick him up. And, you know, he rushed for almost 100 yards this week. Yeah. But the ability of a quarterback to help a guy like Olave and Juwan, and you see the confidence they have in him, and their consistency level has certainly grown with his growth at quarterback.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One, you know, if you win, you're going to get the ball on time. And it's going to be in a place where you can make something happen with it after the catch. Like, yards after the catch are directly tied to accuracy of the quarterback. If your quarterback is accurate and puts the ball in a place where you can go get it, and he's going to throw you away from harm, away from danger, put you in a position basically to say, hey, I'm going to indicate the leverage of the defender to you with the ball placement that I put on, and I want you, based upon me throwing it to you, say your inside right, I want you to spin out because the defender is coming down from your left, and I want you to spin out that way, and I'm going to lead you into 4 or 5 extra yards. And when you have that kind of communication skills by being accurate, I tell you, your receiving core just appreciates the heck out of it. And I think the other thing, you know, that was really interesting, like watching him self-correct in a game. I went back and I'm looking at the Jets game, and he had some errant throws early in that game. And I was like, oh, that wasn't very good. Oh, that wasn't very good. And then all of a sudden, you see him within in the context of the game, self-correct, get himself back into a rhythm, and you know, that offense starting to operate as well. So I love all those things about what Shuck is doing right now. I really think that kid is potentially Rookie of the Year. I haven't really even thought about who else could be in that conversation, but he certainly needs to be in it.
Yeah, he should win it because, I mean, his competition, Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Carolina. Now, if Travion played a little bit earlier, now, I think he had a little bit of issue with fumbling. And one thing with Rabel, you fumble in practice? Hey, you ain't playing in a game. It's one of those type of things with Coach. Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Charlie?
Mark, it's just how the schedule works out, but NFC South teams since week 10, the Saints 5-2, the Falcons 4-4, the Panthers 3-4, and the Buccaneers 1-7. We're looking at this game on Saturday. I think the NFL expected the Rams to beat the Falcons, and then none of this would have been a talking point. But the Panthers and the Buccaneers, there's the two scenarios. The Panthers win, and they beat the Buccaneers for the second time in the last 3 weeks. They win the NFC South going 9-8. If they lose and the Buccaneers win, this is where the kind of chaos scenario happens, where the Buccaneers would need the Falcons to beat the Saints and set up a three-way tiebreaker. It's just very strange. Otherwise, the Panthers would potentially win the NFC South, even if they lose to the Buccaneers. But I want to get your thoughts on this matchup, because it just feels, Mark, like the Bucs are a broken team at this point. I mean, there's falling off a cliff, and then there's what the Buccaneers have done. They started off so hot. Baker Mayfield was in, you know, MVP conversations, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt, and a couple other different players get injured. And then the slide that they've been on, the only team that they've beat in that 8-game stretch has been the Cardinals, who I think are 0-8 in the same stretch. So it's just been a nightmare for Todd Bowles and that Buccaneers team, and it just feels like they're broken at this point, Mark. The Bucs are favored again, and Mike and I are going to pick the games here in a little bit, but it just feels like Carolina has the inside shot to win the NFC South here, even on the road.
It does, and at the same time, I still think, and I called that game between the Bucs and the Panthers a couple weeks ago, where the Panthers come back late and win that game, and then Baker Mayfield's got a chance to drive down the football field, and a little broken play, and he ends up throwing it. He and Mike Evans aren't on the same page, and of course, Mike Evans has missed a lot of time, but he breaks away the opposite way Baker is on a scramble, and he throws it, and you know, gets picked off, thinking that Mike Evans is going to be on the same page as him. And so there's a miscommunication there, and they end up losing that game. But I go back to what a lot of people have told me about, you know, playing against the Carolina Panthers and defensive coordinators. And ultimately what everybody says is that keep Bryce Young in the pocket and make him play quarterback. And one thing Bryce Young can do, man, he from an operational standpoint, he knows what you're in. He knows where his troubles are. He knows where the one-on-ones are. He'll diagnose all that stuff. And I thought there were two plays in that game, 12 seconds left in the first half, and Todd Bowles calls up zero blitz, gets one-on-one. Tetero McMillan beats Jamel Dean for about a 45-50-yard touchdown, and right before the half. And then in the fourth quarter, another blitz one-on-one, Jalen Coker down the sideline for about 40-plus yards, and that puts them in field goal range to end up winning that game. Like, those are the things that, to me, hey, man, don't give him an opportunity to diagnose pre-snap one-on-one and beat you. Make sure that you make him play quarterback. Sit back, play zone. I know that's not Todd Bowles' style. I know that's not what he likes to do. But bottom line, I still think Tampa Bay probably wins that game in Tampa. But man, it just feels like nobody wants to win the NFC South right now.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us. We'll cut you loose. Man, we thank you for your time and everything, and Happy New Year to you. And, man, we'll see you Sunday as you, Chris Myers, Jen Hale. Y'all got the call. At least for Jen, the drive is short to the dome for that one.
Hey, there you go. You guys be well, man. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We'll be back. Pick six coming up next, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. We're joined by Steve Geller. It's our Pick 6 segment. Charlie, I'll throw it to you.
Mike, congratulations for the first 6-0 week that we've had all of Pick 6 season.
Wow, all right, Mike D.
Woohoo, Mike. Mike
don't
wins.
Expect that every week.
No, it's the first time we've done it, and we've done this for about 18 weeks now. Mike picked Georgia Tech correctly, although that I got some beef with that one because the rest of us picked BYU minus 4.5, and they won by 4. It was the half-point hook, but that's why we do it. I mean, Vegas always whoops us. Houston, we all got correct. The Texans, we all got correct against the Chargers. The Saints, everyone, Steve, you had picked the Titans, but the three of us, Bobby, Mike, and myself, got the Saints correct. I was the only one that went with the Bills. Oh, well, I mean, that was kind of the second half. They almost made the comeback, but whatever. And then the Bears and 49ers game, another real tough line. Bears plus 3, they lose by 4 in that really back-and-forth affair, and that came down to the wire, too. But, Mike, you got all of them correct, so you went 6-0. I went 3-3. Bobby went 4-2. Steve went 4-2. So I was the worst one this past week. Got to pick it up here, guys. But we're moving ahead. It's going to be pick 8 this week because we got the college football playoff quarterfinals.
Busy, and then busy.
4 games that mean something in the NFL. So I wanted to do all of those as well. I got Bobby's picks in front of me. We go chronological as always. The one game on New Year's Eve, Wednesday, December 31st. Tomorrow, guys, the Cotton Bowl. Number 10 Miami versus number 2 Ohio State in Arlington. Ohio State 9.5-point favorites. Bobby's got Miami plus 9.5. I will differ from him here. This just screams that Ohio State wins by 10, and it's one of those lines that's just the hook. You got to be careful of it. A lot of people are picking Miami in this game. Trench play for the Hurricanes is very, very strong. At the same time, I just feel like this Ohio State team, Mike, as we had talked with Chris Lowe in the first hour about the most talented team in the country, I think they get it done. They win by 10.
I'm going with the Buckeyes. I think they're better at quarterback. And they got, man, two unbelievable receivers. put a lot of stress on that Hurricane secondary. So I'm going with the Buckeyes.
Steve?
Yeah, Charlie, you mentioned the trenches. I like Miami's pass rush in this. Think they keep it close enough, so I'll take Miami plus the 9.5.
So that is a split in our first game. Bobby and Steve are rolling with the Hurricanes. Mike and I are rolling with the Buckeyes. Up next, we got the triple header on Thursday, January 1st, New Year's Day, starting with the Orange Bowl. Number 5, Oregon, 2.5-point favorites versus number 4, Texas Tech in Miami. Bobby's got Texas Tech plus the points. I agree with him this time around. I will take the Red Raiders. The Red Raiders have been very good to me. I know that there's all the talk out there that Oregon could be peaking at the right time. I just think Texas Tech, once again, referencing that Chris Lowe interview that we did, Mike, they can play with the big boys. And I think that they'll have a good shot to even take out this Oregon team and move on to the semifinals. Give me the Red Raiders.
I'm going with Texas Tech. I remember we had Pete Jenkins on last week. He said this Oregon team is not as good as the teams we've seen over the last couple years. The Red Raiders, I think, roll with this, and I think they win over Oregon.
Quack, quack for me, guys. I'm going to roll with Oregon here. I like their rushing attack in this one, -2.5 for the Ducks for me.
All right, moving on, we have the Rose Bowl, number 9, Alabama versus number 1, Indiana. Indiana, 7.5-point favorites. I hate this line.
It was
6.5, and I was thinking, okay, I'll take Indiana, you know, plus the points, and then it moves to 7. I'm like, okay, maybe that's a push. It's moved all the way up, guys, to 7.5, and that's a big jump from 6.5 to 7.5. We've talked about it, you know, 2.5 to 3.5, 6.5 to 7.5. There must be a ton of money coming in on Indiana for this game. I will fade the public here. I love Kalen DeBoer against top teams. I don't like this pick at all, but I will take Alabama to cover 7.5. If they lose, I don't think they lose by more than a touchdown here.
What A-Bear got?
Indiana.
I'm going with Alabama.
Nah.
I'm with you, Mike, as well. Road Tide. I just think 7.5 points, that just seems way too much to be getting for Bama here.
And to be fair, I'm not trying to disrespect Indiana. I think they win this game. But it's just too big of a point spread for me.
No doubt.
The three of us are taking the Tide. Bobby will be rolling with the top team in the country with Indiana. Moving on, guys, the Sugar Bowl. Wrapping up our college football slate here with the college football playoff quarterfinals. Number 6, Ole Miss versus number 3, Georgia, of course, in New Orleans. Georgia's 6.5-point favorites. Bobby's got the Bulldogs. I will agree with him here. I think Georgia could win the national championship this year. They're not really a sleeper pick as the number 3 team in the country. But I picked them last time when it was like, I think, a 7.5-point spread, and they won by 7. Or maybe it was 8.5. They won by 8. I forgot. But I'll take them here. 6.5 is enough for me to take. They win by a touchdown or more, in my opinion.
Hotty toddy. Ole Miss for me.
Wow, Mike, really?
Yep. Give me them points. Listen, it was a shootout the last time.
Yes, it was.
I think you'll see something similar. And Ole Miss can match you point for point. Here's the thing. We don't know about all these teams. Indiana, Ohio State.
The time off.
Georgia. All that time off.
Right.
Man, it ain't a light switch. It's not a light switch. Give me hotty toddy in the 6.5.
I'm going to roll with the Bulldogs in this one. I'll take Georgia -6.5 in this one. I thought this would be a definite clean sweep from everyone. You surprised me on that one, Mikey.
Listen, okay. I like the pick. Trinidad Chambliss is one of those dangerous QBs in this bracket that I think that Ole Miss offense, even with no more Lane Kiffin, they still got a lot of offensive assistant coaches still there. They could put up some points in this matchup, even with how good Georgia's defense has been playing. All right, moving on. NFL Week 18, guys. We got Saturday doubleheader starting with the Panthers at the Buccaneers. You know, if you listen to our interview that we just did with Mark Schlereth, you know my pick for this game. Bobby's going with the Bucs, -3. I think the Bucs are a broken team. They've completely fallen off the face of the earth. Give me the Panthers +3. I think they seal up the NFC South.
Jin Hale gave me the deal on this. Panthers win one, lose one,
right.
Win one, lose right. One. They lost last week. Panthers beat the Bucs.
I think it's been 10 straight weeks, Mike. It's like historic how yes, off and on they've been. It's
so really you know crazy. What? I'm going to ride the pony until it throws me off.
Sure.
That's why Carolina for me.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay just because I believe in Baker Mayfield with his back to the wall more in this matchup. I know nothing's even guaranteed. Even if they win this game, there's a chance that the Panthers could still eke out the division if the right. Falcons beat the Saints, which is wild.
It's a really funny scenario.
But I'll take Bucs -3.
So this is a split. Bobby and Steve are going with the Bucs. Mike and I are going with the Panthers. Up next, we have a rematch. NFC West, 49ers at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks -1.5. And guys, if you watch Sunday Night Football's game against the Bears, it was back and forth. It's like a ping pong paddle, back and forth and back and forth. Offenses were going nuts in that matchup. The 49ers' offense is hot, their defense is not. And that really scares me. Bobby's got the Seahawks minus 1.5. It obviously scared him. But at the same time, that one game that sticks in my mind when making this pick was last year, the Vikings against the Lions. In the final week of the regular season, could be for the one seed. Very similar spot, and Sam Darnold spit the bit. I will go with the 49ers in this game. I don't feel great about it. I think the Seahawks have been fantastic all season long, but I got to see it from Sam. In the pressure moment, can you win in Week 18 and lock up that one seed, that first round bye in the NFC playoffs? Show it to me. I'm going with the 49ers here.
Seattle for me.
Okay.
I got the 49ers too, Charlie. I think Brock Purdy has been awesome and just a 1.5-point dog at home. But still, I'll take the Niners being underdogs in their house any day.
Moving on to Sunday, January 4th, the Saints at the Falcons. Falcons 3.5-point favorites. Bobby's got the Saints covering 3.5. This is another one that's moved, guys. Atlanta was 2.5, then 3, and now all the way up to 3.5. I hate that hook.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Falcons. I just think that there's a stat out there that once they've been eliminated, they just play their best football. So, you know, final week of the season, the Saints have been hot. I understand that. But just seeing how they played this past night against the L.A. Rams kind of scares me off of it, guys. I'll go with the Dirty Birds.
If it was 2.5, I'd go Atlanta, but I'm taking the Saints in the 3.5. I think this is a field goal game. I think the Saints keep it close. Revenge, too, for losing that first game.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm going to roll with the black and gold as well in this one for that revenge factor. There's no way in heck you can let those Dirty Birds sweep the season series.
Yeah. Can't happen.
I mean, very well could happen with splitting it, guys. It's just how this rivalry works. I don't love the pick, but it just is what it is. Wrapping things up, Sunday Night Football, the Ravens, 3.5-point favorites at the Steelers. Last I heard is it may be trending towards Lamar Jackson playing in this matchup, guys. The Steelers had every shot in the world to wrap up this division last week against the Browns, and they completely screwed it. And Bobby's got the Steelers plus 3.5. He thinks that they respond. I'm not buying any stock into this Steelers team at this point, guys. This could be the last game of Coach Tomlin in Pittsburgh. We'll obviously have to see how that kind of plays out. Give me the Ravens minus 3.5. I think that they win this game.
Bobby's in love with Aaron Rodgers. That's why he picked the Steelers. Right. Come on. I'm going with the Ravens here. Feed them Derrick Henry till they spit it out on the other end.
I definitely expect a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. I do think, though, the Steelers, they find ways to drag other teams into the mud. And so I'll go with their defense built to stop the run game, and even though it is Derrick Henry. So I'll take Steelers plus 3.5.
There's these hooks on this week's spreads, guys. I just can't stand it. But we'll see how it all kind of plays out. So just a quick recap. We got a split where Mike and I both have Ohio State minus 9.5. Bobby and Steve have Miami plus 9.5. Me, Mike, Bobby have Texas Tech. Steve's rolling with the Ducks. And then we got me, Mike, and Steve are taking Alabama. Bobby's taking Indiana. This is really making it tough on me, guys. Myself, Bobby, Steve have Georgia. Mike's taking Ole Miss. And then we have a split where Mike and I have the Panthers plus 3. Bobby and Steve have the Bucks minus 3. Another split where Steve and I have the 49ers plus 1.5. Mike and Bobby have the Seahawks minus 1.5 on the road in San Francisco. I'm the only one taking the Falcons minus 3.5. The rest of the guys got the Saints plus 3.5. And then finally, another split. No clean sweeps this week.
I was going to say, no sweeps.
No clean sweeps.
That's good.
A split.
Right. Normally, we all stink on them.
Yeah, the clean sweeps are terrible. Mike and I got the Ravens minus 3.5. Bobby and Steve are rolling with the Steelers plus 3.5 on Sunday Night Football.
All right, that was pick 8, and we'll be back to finish it off here on our number 2 of Sports Talk right after this break. Finish it up here on our number 2 of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL and the 6 o'clock hour. Steve and Charlie will talk to Ollie Cosell, Pelicans basketball. And at 7 o'clock, Mike Hoss, the Saints Hour. Audric Estime joins Mike.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.